Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message from Josh Tanner.
So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, verse 8. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." How do you think Zechariah responded? How would you respond if you're in a place of worship and God sends an angel to tell you something? Hello. I mean, I'd be a little spooked. I mean, I'm not surprised. He was surprised, and he wished he had his adult diaper on that day, right? He's like, ah, there's an angel right next to me. That would kind of freak you out a little bit.
Yeah, it would.
And the angel's like, hey, calm down. Don't get overcome with fear. I have a good message. I have something good. And he explains and unpacks this whole awesome plan. And what did Zechariah hear? Just listen to his response. He says all these amazing things about what God is going to do. And he's a flippant angel standing right next to him in the temple, like the holy place, the holy ground. And Zechariah says this in verse 18. Zechariah says to the angel, hold on a second. How can I be sure this is going to happen? I'm an old man and my wife is also, she's an old lady. This is Zechariah's first response. Now, before we get too judgy on Zachy here, right? Let's all admit that we've been Zechariah at some point. I mean, I've never had an angel of the Lord come to me in this way. That's not happened. I've had really serious encounters with the Lord that are undeniable power and presence of God. God speak things to me that I'm like, wow, there is no way I could do that without you. And what has been our response? Or we hear of someone else that the Lord has come and spoken to, and we hear of this supernatural encounter because God speaks to people. And he's on the move. And how do we respond when God shows up? What is our initial response? And many people in the Bible have had this same response as Zechariah, and others have, let's just call them better responses. Okay? It's not the worst response, but there are better responses. And Zechariah, he gets kind of stuck on the fact he's an old guy. And in his brain, he can't figure out how this could possibly happen. Because it's not physically possible for him and his wife to have a child because they're just too old. And that's okay. But this would require what?
Faith.
Faith and a miracle. This is going to require two really big, very important things. Faith, and that God can do it, and then God actually has to show up and do it. Right?
Yeah.
That he can do it and do it. You guys get it? We're all in there. All right, verse 19. Then the angel says, huh? What? Don't you see that I'm Gabriel? I'm an angel. He's like, I'm an angel. How are you not? Dude, I showed up. This is one of the things that's kind of amazing to me is he's like, does this not freak? You were just freaked out like I'm an angel. I just told you God's going to do this. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me, dummy, to bring you the good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you're going to be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Bam. Yeah. He's like, brr. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have had a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth miraculously became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of not having children. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. What? They exclaimed. There is no one in all of your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted them to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began what? Praising God. There's a little formula in here that we can figure out on how do we, like Zach, get back on track. Nailed it. fell on the whole neighbor. I was like, I really need to throw a couple dad jokes in because we're getting close to Christmas and it's like dad joke season. Okay. Fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we ask him for your grace, your goodness. Lord, will you just fill up this space with your truth, with your understanding, God, and just remove everything from this environment that would hinder us walking away with hearing your voice, knowing your will, and learning how to respond in a way that brings glory to your name, that creates activity and movement in your kingdom. God, we're asking that you would awaken the faith inside of us to believe for the impossible, the miraculous, God, the nation-shaking things you want to do in our nation. God, we're believing that, God, you want to send revival across the land. You want to heal the sick. You want to raise up those who are spiritually dead. Lord, you want to bring our nation back to greatness. Lord, even greater than it's ever been, with better equality, more love, more of your presence, more of your goodness, and God, less religiosity, God. We pray for just your love to overwhelm each and every one of us, that we would hear, know, and do your will. God, awaken our faith. Awaken our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Luke 7:27, John is the man whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. I tell you, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, even the last person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. Jesus said this. This dude, John, was an important guy. And the Lord had a plan that, guess what? Nobody knew. Nobody knew this is what God was going to do that day. Right? Zechariah's going in. He's lighting the incense like he is supposed to do. It's his turn. His team's on duty. They're in there just trucking along. He's in there lighting his candle. And bang, God shows up. And everybody's been waiting hundreds of years in silence God's not saying anything. And the Israelites are in captivity, basically, by Rome. Sure, they're in Jerusalem, and they're there, but Rome is dominating everything. They're lost. They've lost their way. They don't even have the Ark of the Covenant inside the Holy of Holies to do real, true worship. The Israelites are lost at sea for hundreds of years until this moment. I mean, this is like the first big moment. And all of a sudden, Zacharias sees this angel, and the angel tells him about John, who comes in the power of Elijah, which was prophesied before. And they're like, whoa, 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 wait a second. This guy, who is he? Like, Jesus comes and says, this guy was Elijah. This guy was the guy that was made. He was sent and prophesied to come before me to prepare the way of the Lord. And I want you to see this, that there is one element that is necessary in this whole environment to prepare the way of the Lord. And it all starts with faith. And see, if Zechariah does an interesting thing here, is he pivots pretty hard after God silences his mouth. He gets rebuked by the angel. Like, I mean, he was like freaking out when the angel shows up, right? Like all of us would do. We would be trembling and be like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And then God speaks. And when God spoke, all he could hear was how it couldn't happen. He couldn't hear all the amazing things God was saying through Gabriel, what actually was going to happen. Like, he could only hear and see in the natural what his limitations were, how he could never do this. And when he walks away, the angel's like confused. Gabriel's confused. He's going, how did you not hear what I just said? I'm an angel. You're like, how did this not get through to you? But that's us, right? How many times have we come back and we go like, how did that not get through to me? How in the heck were all these signs and signals about what God was asking me to do, and I just could not get there? All I could see is how it couldn't happen. And when we focus on the natural and how things cannot happen, we are going to miss the substance, the peace that engages the bringing of the presence of the Lord into all environments. It prepares the way of the Lord is our faith. Our faith is the starting point of what prepares the way for the Lord. See, God is always wanting to do, and he's going to do his time. Like if Zechariah would have just blown it here, the angel probably would have moved on, and like God would be like, okay, we're not going to do this for you. I'm gonna have John come through somebody else. Like, I mean, God can do anything he wants, right? But fortunately, Zechariah pivots pretty hard. He shuts his mouth and he goes, whoop, oh, hold on a second. I got to make a shift here. Because apparently seeing the angel and hearing what he had to say wasn't enough to activate his faith. But the second he was now mute, apparently that gave him something to think about. So sometimes when we stop talking, we start thinking, right? So he's in there working in the temple for a whole week thinking about, God just shut my mouth. I can't even talk to anybody. And I saw an angel and he says, we're going to have a baby. So he's thinking for a whole week, I guess I got to go find my old lady when I get home, right? Yeah. And we're going to have to give this a whirl and see if we can have a boy or a girl. All right. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. And when you read this word in the Greek, it means it can't happen. To please God, and this actually does mean this word, to please God, has this inference that it's to accomplish the will of God. Okay? To please him is to accomplish his will and find his favor in the accomplishing of that will. These words are always in the Hebrew and the Greek and the understanding of how God says them. They're always so much bigger than just how we take them lots of times at face value. But It's impossible, cannot happen to fulfill the will of God in your life, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Your faith is necessary to please the Lord, to be active in the kingdom, to accomplish the things in the will of God. Zechariah could not accomplish the will of God without faith. If Zechariah decided, I'm not doing it, I don't want to take the steps necessary to have a baby with my wife. Oh, there, look how he did that. That was good, right? PG. But this is a necessary step. And when you're older, this is not actually a step that's possible lots of times. And apparently for him, he's like, this ain't gonna happen, bro. And he's thinking about that for a whole week. But what does he do when he goes home?
What?
Well, what he's supposed to do. He goes and does what's necessary to have a baby, okay? And so he does this. And guess what? This is actually a responsive step of faith, because without faith, it's impossible. Here's one of the other things James 2:20 says. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. See, this is something Zechariah understood. It may have taken him a week to get it without being able to talk, but he understood this. By the time he went home, he goes, oh, God said it. My job's to believe it and then take steps of doing it. So he takes his first step and he goes, oh, the Lord said we're going to have a baby. I need to do the steps that it takes to have a baby. So he thinks about it for a whole week and he believes. He's like, okay, Lord, this is going to be a miracle. And so, bam, the miracle happens. Baby's born. Here we go. And she had been believing God for a child her whole life. And that belief and that absence had actually had been a shame experience for Elizabeth her whole life. And God redeemed that moment. And you know, Jesus came to cover and set us free from our shame. And so even in this moment, the first thing that Elizabeth encounters when she encounters Jesus is the removal of her shame. And all she did was hear about that her son was going to be the one that paved the way for the Messiah, the coming of the King of Kings. That's how she heard about Jesus first. And the first time when Mary shows up and Mary has Jesus inside of her womb and she meets Elizabeth, they meet. And John gets filled with the Holy Spirit in her womb, just like it said he would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit and she's like, whoa, hello. And she encounters Jesus for the second time while the babies are in the womb. And I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, when your faith is activated, Jesus shows up, he begins to remove the shame that has been riddling you and I for our whole existence. And when he shows up, I'm telling you, our faith, it precedes the power and the move of the Lord. But one of the things we really need to activate faith is a word. Amen. Without a word from God, faith can't be activated, because you're not activating something. Faith plugs into a word. And guys, do you know where the best place to get a word from God is? There's this thing, it's called the Word. 66 books inside of it. Yeah, you even brought a Bible. That's a miracle. You brought one right there. Who else has an actual Bible? Yeah, let's go. We got some word in here. The Holy Spirit has inspired the Word of God, and the Word of God, the written Word of God, can be inspired by the Holy Spirit in revelation as you read it. It's actually designed to do that. It's not just to be designed to just be read without the Holy Spirit showing and revealing the truth to you. All right? And learning how to do that's important. We're not going to get into all that, but you need a word from God. If God shows up and says, I need you to do this, Do it, especially if it's in unity with the Word of God in your Bible. You already know it says, go love a person, be giving, serve, be humble, repent. Like, come on, be joyful always. This is the will of God. We read that in Thessalonians. Pray continually. This is the will of God. There are things that are known that we know are words, and you can always plug and activate your faith into all the time. And then there are what they call like rhema words, or words that come alive inspired by the Holy Spirit, or an angel can show up and give you a word. This happens to this day, all right? In Islam, people that are in Islam and Iran and all over in the Middle East, they are meeting Jesus in their dreams. And he is telling them to go find out about him. And they're getting saved. This is the primary way people are getting saved throughout all of the Muslim faith. Those are the main testimonies we're hearing back again and again and again. So I want to encourage each one of us to get our brains and our minds and our lives and our spirits active and listening for that word of God. God, what are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you directing me to do? And we have got to take our faith and plug it in. But faith is not just belief alone, right? Faith is doing. Zachariah, Lord bless that baby. Lord help him. You're doing good, Ma. Zachariah had to plug his faith into steps. His belief had to convert into what I would call recovery steps. Right? And how many of y'all, you've had to be on the personal, God's personal growth plan, where he pauses your life, ministry, and he goes, okay, now we're on the growth plan, okay? You're not picking up what I'm putting down here. I'm trying to get you to get this. Like, it might not be as dramatic as the angel Gabriel showed up to like speak to you and I, but the Lord's like whispering in our ears. He's giving us instructions. I'm like, listen, man, I told you to start speaking kindly to your spouse. I told you to start like being humble, or I told you to start serving. I told you to go down to the soup kitchen. I told you to start a care group. I told you, God, I've called you to be a pastor, and you have taken no steps towards that. You're like, okay. He goes, hey, listen, I've been instructing you. It's cool. Pause. Close your mouth for a little bit. It's like Zachariah. We're going to like, burp. No more teaching. No more talking. Now it's growth plan. Okay. Anybody ever experienced this? I've been on this many, many times. I don't know how you're a Christian and don't get on God's growth plan from time to time. And I've been on plenty growth plans, and they're painful, and there is a lot of introspective work that needs to be done. It's kind of that season like Zechariah had in the temple where he was serving and not speaking. He was in the presence of God and not speaking. He was ministering in the presence of God, but God was ministering to him. I would love to hear a diary log of all of the things Zechariah was thinking about that whole week he couldn't talk. Right? Pretty awesome. Actually, I think it's here. We'll see it here in a second. I think it comes out in his response after he had a whole week to think about it. Actually, you know, she was longer than a week, but his first recovery step was to go spend some time with his wife, doing what he was supposed to be doing. The second one was when he stepped out and he actually names his son John. Because that was a big deal. The tradition was it was supposed to be someone in his family's name, and that's the tradition of man. And see, here's the thing. Jesus came to blow up the traditions of man, especially the traditions of man that hold people back from an intimate and real relationship with God and restrict them from understanding and knowing his true nature. And God is always blowing those up. And when you see Jesus shows up here and already starts blowing up the traditions of man. And he did it over and over again. It made every Pharisee and every Sadducee about lose their flipping minds. He's like, I mean, he just did it all the time. And he was starting here because they had lost their way. They had lost their way in believing and understanding that it wasn't about all these laws and traditions and all of this stuff. It was about faith and love and relationship with God. And they had been off track for hundreds of years. And Jesus is showing back up to get not just the Israelites on track, the whole world on track. And we all have an opportunity to encounter his love. But his love is always, and his nature is always, disrupting the traditions of men that are holding people back from their authentic life in Jesus. And he started here, and he just starts blowing up this namesake thing. I really like, and I'm not saying everybody has to do this, when people, some of you all are really good at this, you like really pray and study about who you name your kids. Because it really does matter. And we really prayed about all of our kids, and they all have at least a name that I think is funny, and then a name that was spiritual. I'm just kidding. It's not like that. We tried to name them the best we could. And honestly, so many of our kids, they have those traits that are within their name. And we believe God actually gave us those names. You know what? I know some of you have really clever, super cool ones. And I think that that matters. I think that has power. And one of the things in this is that this name breaks all the traditions. When he says his name is going to be John, he had to go against all the peer pressure and all the tradition to take this step of faith while he couldn't talk. And his wife says it, and they're like, we don't believe women. What do you want to say? So he writes it down. They're like, what? And then the second he writes it down, what happens in his life? He's now released. Okay, he's off the recovery plan. He's back on track. Zach is now back on track because he responds to this recovery plan. And guys, we need to have this same heart. We cannot get it perfect all the time. But you and I, we can instantly respond and repent. Hey, you and I feel like we're off track. Ooh, I think I might have missed the Lord here. So what just happened? And we slow it down. Ooh, get quiet, spend some time with the Lord, and get back into your recovery steps. How many recovery steps does it take to get back on track? As many as it takes. How many steps did it take to obey the Lord in the first place? I don't know. It depends on what he asked you to do. It could be one. It could be 10. I don't know what it is. But you and I, we want to be on track. And we need to be on track trusting him for the outcome. Are you in charge of the outcome with your faith?
No.
No, you're not. How much faith do you need to accomplish the will of God? The Bible says a mustard seed. Just enough. All you need is enough of this stuff to make it work. But it's enough of the substance, the spiritual substance, the belief, and the action, the right action steps that God is requiring you to take. Because faith is not just belief alone. It always requires work. And there are two substances working together here. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence. And this word also means substance. It's confidence in the substance. Faith is actually a thing that exists. It is a substance. Faith is the substance, or that which produces confidence, okay, in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The whole world was made out of what substance? God created it. Like, With a faith substance, his faith substance. And what was the first thing that God did when he created things? He spoke. So technically it's the second thing, because he believed. In his heart, he imagined it. In his mind, he imagined it. In his faith, he imagined it. And he goes, I'm going to do this. And then he stepped out, and the first thing he did was speak it into existence. So faith's first action step is confession. What was the first action step that Zechariah missed? Confession.
Gabriel tells them, hey, bam, here I am, jazz hands. It's me, Gabriel. He's like, oh, I'm an angel. He's like, whoa, you're freaking me out. He goes, chill. It's going to be cool. And he says, this is all the cool stuff God's going to do. Ta-da. And he goes like, I don't know about all that. His first confession was, I don't believe you. And you know what the Lord hears? Zechariah goes, here it is. I'm old and she's old and you know how things work, Lord. And this is what the angel, this is what God hears. And the angel hears, blah, 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 blah. I'm God. Blah, 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 blah. You and everybody else has 1,000, plug in 10,000 different excuses of why it cannot happen. He goes, and I'm God. Remember when I spoke, my faith and confession created the universe? Why can't I just speak again and do some more stuff? This is about when we believe in who he is. But his creative process is the same as our creative process. We're made in his image and to follow in his image. Follow in his likeness. We're made in his likeness to follow in his likeness. He's modeling for us how to engage in creative process in the kingdom. If you and I want to be a part of the creative process, we must first believe what he says. Then we must engage our faith in the first step with confession. God, I believe you're going to do it. Wait till you see how Mary confesses when we look at it next week. It's pretty awesome. God, I believe you're going to do that. Imagine Zachariah goes, hot diggity dog, let's go. He would have been a totally, Gabriel would be like, all right. You know, I mean, big party inside the temple. Nobody's around. Angels showed up. It's pretty sweet. But instead, he goes a little bit on the recovery plan. And the last step that he has to get right is to his confession. He actually has to come back to his confession and get it right. He's like, okay, he gets released. And God's like, okay, what you gonna do, Zachy? That's right. That's right. What are you gonna do? And he's looking for that next step in his faith with a really back to the first step in confessing, God, I believe what you're gonna do. This is how people get saved. Everyone gets saved the same way. You believe in your heart and then your first action step of faith is to confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ, you are Lord.
Yes.
And that's when salvation happens. This creative process of your old man, your dead spirit inside you becomes alive and made new and now is eternal and eternally attached to the power and the presence of God's lasting love for you and I. Which is unbelievable. And the Bible says in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from that love encounter, that love experience. Pretty awesome. It's the most powerful creative miracle happening in the world today, on the planet today, is when a person says, Jesus, you are Lord, and they believe it in their heart, and inside their spirit man is regenerated from old to new. Nothing is happening on the planet more powerful than that. Not someone being raised from the dead, not an arm growing out, not a sickness being healed, nothing. Not a miraculous sign in heaven. Nothing is miraculous as when human beings' lives are forgiven for all of their sin, all of their brokenness, and now they become a light, a city on a hill that can't be hidden. They become an agent of God's love, a temple of the presence of the very power of God, a place where he dwells, and it fortifies the world around them. It's abundant life that spills over into everyone around them. Instead of being a taker, they're now a giver. Instead of being an absorber of light, they're now a bringer of light to everything around them. But it starts with our faith, and it is the next step is our confession, guys. And it activates power in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And if you at all, if we get off track, y'all, all we got to do is all the recovery steps necessary. Just start doing all the steps God told you to do and come back to your confession and say, no, God, I believe you can do this. I believe you are the God who works in the gaps and the impossible. That in science, there's these subatomic particles that exist. And this all this crazy nerdy stuff, but there is this field of particle physics that scientists have faith. Can you believe this? Scientists have faith. Pretty awesome. In the existence of subatomic particles and forces that cannot be directly seen with the naked eye. These particles, like quarks and neutrinos, I got it, are inferred through indirect evidence and mathematical models demonstrating faith in the unseen world of the extremely small world that exists. A quark is a fundamental subatomic particle and one of the building blocks of matter in the universe. A neutrino is subatomic particles that is fundamental to the existence of matter. Neutrinos are extremely lightweight, electronically neutral, and nearly massless, which makes them very difficult to detect. They are one of the most abundant particles in the universe, and they are produced in various natural processes, including nuclear reaction in stars and during certain types of radioactive decays. No, I did not say midichlorians exist. For all you Star Wars folks, I did not just say the Force is real and midichlorians exist, okay? But I'm saying these subatomic particles are everywhere and you can feel them and they're moving and flowing through you and around you. So it does sound like midichlorians. There's this other process that is, some of you still don't watch enough movies. Okay, this Higgs boson is another subatomic particle and it's often referred to as the God particle. It's a subatomic particle that gives mass to other particles. It actually gives mass to particles. This existence is theorized long before it was directly observed in using this process. Scientists have faith in the Higgs boson's existence based on the predictions of the Standard Model of Particle Physics. These scientific processes, they require faith in the existence of the unobservable and yet to be observed phenomenon. And it's rooted in evidence. They can sense and feel something is there, even if we can't feel it, see it. And it is bringing life, and it is bringing matter and existence to other things. These God particles exist. And I am submitting to you today that I believe faith works just like this. Faith is like a subatomic particle. It's substance and exists in the gaps between what is and what isn't. It exists in between the gaps of what must be, what will be, and what isn't now, and what cannot be seen. And when we activate our faith and our confession and then the steps into and toward that very thing that God said would happen, into the gap, into the obstacle, into the obstruction, all of those things, when we move our faith in there, it's actually substance. It's real. You push on it with your faith and it actually moves towards another person. And it affects the natural. The supernatural faith is real substance. It's not just airy stuff that doesn't exist. It's, when you pray, it isn't like there isn't a substance. The Bible says that prayer in faith actually is substance that fills up bowls in heaven that at some point will be full and then they pour out. It's the same measurement of martyrs in heaven, guys. Prayer and faith can be measured like a soul in heaven that's been martyred. A human being under the altar is counted when their life is given for Jesus. They go under the altar in heaven when they are martyred for Jesus. And there is a full number of martyrs that God is counting. Just like a full number of prayer, just like the full measure of faith that will be released, and there's a full measure of Gentiles that will be saved, of then all the Jews get saved. We were talking about this a little bit ago. This is going to happen. Do you want to be a part of it?
Yes.
Your faith has to be a part of it. You must first believe. We have to get into the temple in the presence of God and ready to hear a word from God and then step in. God said that the word would go to every person on the planet. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. It says that every single person will hear that Jesus lives, loves, and saves. And they're going to hear it in their own tribe and tongue. It's going to happen. That means the Bible is going to be translated in every single language in the world. It's going to happen. You and I can be a part of that. Every person in our city needs to hear that Jesus lives, loves, and saves. How is your faith going to be a part of that? These are things God already told us to do. He said, go and make disciples. He said this. He said, go, pray. He told us to do these things. Hey, if you don't have another word from God, take that word and activate it. Start doing it now. And don't get on the pause growth plan, or let's get off the pause growth plan and get back on track that our positive confession says, yeah, you know what? I'm going to add to those numbers. I'm not an evangelist. I don't have to be. God never told me I was an evangelist. But you know what? God told me that I'm a discipler. God told me that I'm a giver, that I'm a generous giver. God told me that I'm blessed to be a blessing. God told me that I am actually anointed to do His will. He told me that I am full of His love so that I can love other people. He told me I don't have to live in prison to sin. I can actually live according to the will and the power of God. I don't have to be stuck in that. He told me I don't have to walk in condemnation. I can walk in freedom. Because the Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And I can actually apply my faith to my confession and go live it. But I have to believe, and I think it helps when I imagine my faith is substance. It is a thing. It is matter. In fact, it's God matter. And it's God matter that brings life to kingdom things. And it affects the natural. And I'm telling you, these two worlds affect each other. You can push from the natural into the supernatural and from the supernatural into the natural. They work both ways. It's amazing because God designed all this. He engineered it all to work together. And the world was not designed to operate without faith. The church was not designed to operate without faith. Your life was not designed to operate without faith and a positive confession. And this is not a positive confession that says, I'm not sick. That's a lie. God, heal me. That's a positive confession. I believe God made me for health and life. Awesome. That's a positive confession. I might be dealing with sickness. Yep. Guess what? Some sickness is going to get you at some point. And you are going to go to heaven and you're made for a glorified body for all eternity. It's all going to work out if you trust in Jesus. That's one of the great promises. But your faith has to be engaged there. Your life has to be engaged there. And we can't get caught in pretending like hard things don't happen. No, we're going to attack the gaps. We're going to attack the obstacles with real substance. It's our faith empowered by our confession and then real acts and steps towards overcoming those obstacles, like a prayerless church, like a city that is dying and going to hell because it needs people discipling other people. We're letting the devil and the world disciple all our kids and the whole nation. This is why it's going bonkers. It's time to start making disciples, and we're talking about partnering with Kelly and Nikki and all of the discipling movement. Guys, this is all of us. This is a thing God has put on my heart, Joni's heart, for decades to be a part of. And we feel that God is supercharging this part of the vision for activation. We gotta take the steps. Romans 4:17, we're just about to close. That is, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is in the Amplified version. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. This is how our confession speaks into the gaps. This is the God in the King James and the New King James. It says it kind of like this. This is the God. We serve a God who calls the things that be not as though they are. It's a little easier to remember that way. But he speaks into the things that be not as though they are. And this is the thing. No, our city is a Christian city. Our neighborhoods are Christian neighborhoods. Our churches are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our schools are filled with the love of God. Our children read the Bible. They study the Word. Our kids are passionate for Him. Come on, we got to speak into the gaps with our confession and our faith. But we have to speak into the things and the barriers as if they were. And look at this response. This is how our confession ought to glorify God when we have time to reflect on how we've gotten off track. Zechariah does this in Luke 1:67. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through the holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestors Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Zechariah prophesies about the coming of Jesus and then how his son right there would prepare the way for the Lord. And I'm telling you today that your faith, my faith in activation always prepares the way for the Lord. Every time you activate your faith, you're just like John. Do you know you're just like John? We might not be as great as John ever could have been, because he says he was the greatest. Jesus said John was the dude. He's the dude of dudes, all right? Not the king of kings, but just the dude of dudes. And that's it. Cool. But you're going to do what this dude did. You and I get to bring in the presence of God. We get to usher in the power and the presence of God. And our faith is always ushering in the power. It's always making a way for Jesus. Do you want to know what the will of God is for your life? Make a way for Jesus. This is it. We just have to figure out all kinds of creative, cool ways God will lead you into doing that. But we're just like John the Baptist. And we can prophesy this into people like Zechariah did. But his confession launched the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus. The coming of Jesus. He prophesied it into existence in this moment. And at this moment, Jesus hadn't even come into Mary's womb yet. That's crazy. Right? That happens next, but he prophesies it coming. You and I get to be a part of this amazing journey. If you have never turned your heart over to Jesus, today is the perfect day. Coming up upon Christmas, I remember the first year I gave my life to Jesus, and then I came on Christmas and I was like, what? This is what Christmas is about? I was like, I was wondering what that weird little baby thing was about. I was that off track. I did live in the woods, guys, okay? There was no internet then. Some of y'all young people, you can't even imagine what life would be like that, but these things called newspapers, they would send those, and that's pretty much all I ever saw in the news. Television, right? And I remember when I came around my very first Christmas, and I was like, that was actually the most magical Christmas I ever had. It was the first Christmas I realized Jesus, your Lord. And this is how you came. You came as a baby for me so that I could know you. And I had known him for, maybe 9 months before then. And it was really an incredible experience for me. That can be your experience this year too.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.